All right. Welcome to Lectionary at Lunch. My name is Tim Seleska, and I'm your host for today. We're going to be doing a nice little text for the second Sunday of Easter, Acts chapter 4, verses 32 through 35, a beautiful little passage that gives everybody a chance to preach on a topic that I think our churches, that especially in our country, really need to hear, kind of a very powerful message that Luke presents to us in these verses. So let me start here. Notice that the verse 32 starts out with a genitive, and of the crowd of those who became believers. Notice that participle, pistousantone, is an aorist active participle, masculine plural genitive, from pistuo. I think it's only the only aorist participle in this little section here. But it's used substantively as a noun. Notice the article before it. So the thing you're asking yourself is, what are these genitives attached to? And the question, and that answer comes after the verb was. So you see here the subject of the verb cardia, kai psyche, mia, heart and soul, one. That mia is, of course, the adjective feminine singular nominative, the number one. And so notice what you're trying to do is figure out what words go with what here in this little section of verse 32. So you would say the heart and the soul of the crowd of those who became believers was one. Notice you have a compound subject, cardia kai psyche, with a singular verb. Usually the verb with compound subjects is plural, but here it's singular, especially when the first word of the compound subject is the stressed one. That sometimes happens, and that's what you have here. All right. So again, the heart and soul of the crowd of believers was mia, was one. And ude, not even one. Here's the number one now used more as a substantive. Here, and of course, it's a masculine nominative. So ace and mia, both are the number one. And not even one. Now then you have tip, which is a neuter pronoun. Any tone. Hipparchanton is, again, a participle. Here you have a present active participle, genitive plural. And again, it's used substantively, what belongs to someone. So you would translate that phrase beginning with te, any of the things that belonged, auto, of course, a dative, any of the things that belonged to him. All right? So the subject is ace, and you're looking for the verb, and it comes next with this L again, and notice then that L again is a third singular imperfect. You're going to get a lot of imperfect verbs in here. It gives a very nice chance for you to nuance your translation a little bit. So third singular imperfect indicative active from Lego, and it could be instantaneous. You could just simply translate it said, all right? But you could also translate it with more of a voluntative nuance. Wallace gives some examples of this for the imperfect. So you could translate it as desired to or tried to say. Okay, so you would translate it like this if you go with that translation. And not even one tried to say or desired to say. And then you have the ani, present active infinitive of ami. So here you have a accusative infinitive construction after a verb of speaking with the subject ude ace. And not even one desired to say that, now you pick up the te, desired to say that any of the things that belonged to him, now the ani, were idion, were his own. Okay? But now here you have another ain, autois, hapanta koina. Notice that the hapanta koina are neuter plural nominatives. All right. And so here, these are the subject of that verb. Remember, the neuter plurals can have singular verbs. So that's what you have. Try to say that. So it would be, but all things were koina, common to them. So again, that phrase, and not even one desired to say, elegant, that any of the things that belonged to him, auto, eini, was ideon, his own. But hapanta, all things, ein, were, koina, were common to them. All right. Now, that's a convoluted kind of syntax you see in Greek. But remember, in Greek, the word order is free or much freer than in English. And that's why you have things that look very mixed up to us in English. You have to put them in proper order. So nothing is really difficult in that verse. It's just a matter of trying to figure out how the words are related to each other and then translating accordingly. All right. I think it gets a little easier from here on out. When we get to verse 33, and adina megala, here's two datives again. So we translate kind of your reflex, with great power, op edidun. Okay, notice once again you're getting another imperfect verb, third plural imperfect indicative, third plural imperfect indicative active from apodidomi, to give back to or to return. All right. So notice here the imperfect can be given kind of a ongoing or continuous nuance, was giving. And you're looking for the subject and you find it not with to martyrion, but the words after. Notice that hoi apostoloi, the nominative plural. So and with great power, the apostles were giving to martyrion, the testimony or the witness. All right, now here you have another genitive of the anastaseos, of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. So again, the whole phrase, and with great power, the apostles were giving the witness of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus. And charis, grace, megale is the adjective that modifies it, and great grace was on all of them. Again, notice the repetition of that word was and the whole description of the state or the condition or the situation of the Christians here. So again, it's a very nice ending to a chapter that's filled with action. And it gives you actually a kind of a sense of rest and solidarity that you're seeing in the church. Notice also the word plethos, used to describe the church, which is an indication of the church's growth, which was, of course, tremendous. When you begin reading in the book of Acts and get to this point, the church is growing tremendously by the power of the Holy Spirit here. All right. So notice what is being stressed here is two very interesting things that we don't often think about in the church today. First of all, the unity of the church. Notice how it's described. The heart and the soul of the crowd of those who became believers was one. All right. So they were on the same page theologically, spiritually, and also socially, as you come to see. And here's the next thing. Not even one of them tried to say or desired to say that any of the stuff that belonged to him, his possessions, was his own. But everything was in common to them. So they had this marvelous gift of generosity, this marvelous spirit of sharing, this sense of community, rather than, and quite opposite, the kind of individualism that marks our society and so many of our churches and our personal lives. When we begin to think seriously about how we think about our possessions, whose they belong to and whose they don't, how much we have to give, this passage offers a very challenging alternative to the kind of picture that we are used to, the normal picture. All right. And notice then, too, also in verse 33, that with great power. So the Holy Spirit was mightily at work in the witness of the apostles. And notice what their focus was. Their focus was not on law, on doing things right, on any of that. Their focus was on the resurrection of their Lord Jesus. It was the gospel that they proclaimed. It was at the core of their being and their identity as a community and as Christians. And in this season, we want to keep that in mind. But throughout the year, remember, our core identity is those who proclaim the resurrection of the dead, not who major in how we do things and trying to do things the right way. And that gets so mixed up even in our churches still today. All right. That description then goes on from 33 to 34. Notice then the switch from de to gar, And that's kind of not that unusual again. De and gar can mean much the same thing. And sometimes it's translated like now in English when we want to transition to a new scene or a little new episode in the story. And that's what you have here. Now, no one was or had or was needy. Okay, so no one en de es means needy one, or there was not any needy one, tis being the pronoun. There was not anyone needy, there's that ein again, among them, en autois. So there was not any needy person, any poor person among them. Notice how this is a marvelous fulfillment of prophecy. You get a little taste of that. The prophets had great concern for the disenfranchised and the marginalized in society. And remember, the promise was that the needy and the hungry would be filled with good things. And here you see it by the hand of those who had a lot in the generosity of heart to share with those who did not. So, for there was no one en de es in need among them. And now he explains why. Hasoi gar, for whoever... And now you have for whoever, you're looking for the verb, It comes at the end of the clause, hip erchon. And again, that's another imperfect, third plural, imperfect, active, indicative from hiparcho. For whoever was kate tores, from kate tor. I think it's the only time this occurs in the New Testament. It's a noun, plural nominative, means an owner. And remember, you are probably more familiar with the verb kataomai, to buy or to possess. So here you have a word related to that. For whoever was whoever were owners, kate tores is a plural, of chori'on, here's these two genitives, of fields or houses. Okay, now watch this statement carefully. For whoever hiparchon or hiperchon, whoever was owners of fields or houses. Now you have a participle. Poluntes is a present participle, and it means to sell, from poleo. So it's a simple present active participle, masculine, plural, nominative. And notice then the finite verb follows it. Epheron is another imperfect. All right, so notice you're having the imperfects here through this little part of the passage are more customary or habitual in nature. See? So that in verse 33, that op edidun, notice this is the custom or habit. So the apostles were with great power, all right, were giving testimony of the resurrection of the dead. Or you could even translate that op edidun, kept giving, continually gave. And great grace was on all of them. So here, when you come here, for whoever was owners of fields or houses, now this poluntes, what's the force of it? It could be temporal. When they would sell, all right, epheron would give or would carry from Pharaoh again, another imperfect, and again, I'm translating as habitual, would carry the timas, the money, the price of the sale, all right? Notice that ton piproskomenon, another participle used as a substantive, present participle, again, neuter, plural genitive from piprosko, to sell, of the stuff sold. So for whoever were owners of fields or houses, when they sold that stuff, all right, they would, epheron, they would carry the money or the price, the proceeds of the things that were sold. Piproskameno, okay? Of the things that were sold. Verse 35, and atithun, here's another imperfect, third plural, imperfect, active, indicative from tithemi, and they would put it, see, so this was their custom or their habit, and they would put it at the feet, tous potas, of the apostles. So notice that the apostles were in charge of distributing this money, and that's why it got to be such a big job. Now, notice that this passage doesn't imply that the people who had houses and stuff automatically sold everything that they had. All right, we know that they didn't because, for example, Peter would stay at the house of Lazarus and Mary and Martha. The apostles would do that. And the next chapter, again, reminds us of that, too, that they weren't under any coercion or force to do that. It's simply making the case of the generosity of the people who had something and the extraordinary generosity of them as well. So that these owners who had fields or houses, if they would sell them or when they would sell them, they would take the proceeds of that which was sold. That's how generous they were. They did not keep it for themselves. They put it to the common use, all right? And then they would bring it to the feet of the apostles. And then the last part of verse 35, the last part of their text, finishes with another imperfect. Didetto is from diadidomi, again, a third singular imperfect middle. And it means to distribute, all right? And they would distribute hekasto to each. And again, notice the habitual action. They would distribute to each. Kathateon, both those go together. Kathateon means to the degree that tis anyone need eichen had. Again, third singular imperfect. Third singular imperfect active indicative from echo. To the degree that anyone had need. All right. So again, once you get past that first verse, syntactically at least, things get a little easier. But you notice the characteristics, the predominance of imperfects that give this little story nice nuances and a kind of a lively characterization or description you can give your translation as you negotiate the different translation possibilities for those imperfects. And notice the repetition of the ain there to indicate the state or the condition of the apostles and the church. And in the midst of that, the great generosity that was going on. So I think it's easy to see that a sermon on the life of the community of Christians is very much a possibility here. We have to keep in mind, once again, that narrative stories are not prescriptive, but they're descriptive. So he's describing the church. He is not giving rules for how the church must behave or act at all times and in all ages. And yet, stories, narratives like this, have the power to change us, to influence us, and especially us in our Western society, in our society in which we so much emphasize material goods and individualism and our right to use what we have. And even when we think of generosity, we think in terms of 10%. And if we even reach that, that's good. And we'll give someone a little help, but we won't give them continual help. You know, all those kinds of things inform how we do business in our society and in the church. But a story like this has the power to at least influence us and to make us rethink how we live together as God's people. What should our community look like? And of course, each of us, how do we use the possessions that God has given us? Notice it's obvious here that the people involved didn't think that their things were their own. That verse 32 is just really telling here. Not even one desired to say that anything that he had belonged to him. I mean, that's kind of an amazing insight into the Christian life. But here we do see a picture of what the kingdom of God should look like. Again, as I said before, it's a little foretaste of Old Testament prophecy fulfilled where the needy would be cared for. And you see this great exemplar of really what does it mean to love your neighbor as you love yourself. All those things make this a very challenging text for us. So you see people who are so excited by the resurrection of Jesus, so filled with the power of the Holy Spirit, that pours out in tangible ways, in acts of love for other people and in the way that they looked at their goods and their possessions. A really challenging picture to the church and a great text, therefore, for post-Easter. Thank you very much for your attention.